Blog Talk Radio.
More live.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, nice of you to join us on Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio. As we welcome in a new president, which team will be the first one to meet our new president? Will it be the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Arizona Cardinals? We're looking for Super Bowl predictions. We want your winner. We want the score. And we want your MVP. Find out everything. Myself, Mike Trent, Scott Atkins, special guest Neil Atkins. Episode Bo and the Beast.
One bleeds red, and one bleeds blue. Two friends, one heated rivalry. It's intense. It's no holds barred. It's game time.
Hey, let's go!
On Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, with your hosts, Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Scott and Mike and their versatility bring new light to many topics in and out of the world of fantasy sports. Guests can reach the show by calling 347-324-5404. Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide. Let's hope they're still friends afterwards. Here they are, Scott and Mike.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Trent, and co-host Scott Atkins is not with us quite yet, but he may join us a little bit later on. This is Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio. As most of you know, this is our 15th episode. This episode is going to be called Bo and the Beast, talking about the Super Bowl, obviously, coming up a week from Sunday. Arizona Cardinals, Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers looking for that six-pack. And seeing what they can do. And Arizona Cardinals coming in as underdogs, as most of you know. And we'll also be talking about the beast that is the Big East in college basketball. Those of you that want to reach us, you can call 347-324-5404. That's 347-324-5404. And always join us in the chat room. It's always available. And we're always looking for folks to come in and talk to us about what you think is going to happen. We're looking for Super Bowl predictions tonight. We would like to hear, first off, who's going to win? Who's going to win the game? Pittsburgh, Arizona, give us a winner. Give us a score. Give us a specific score and an MVP. MVP of the game. Most of the time, it seems so simple to be able to predict who's going to win and by what score in an MVP. But in this situation, I would like for each one of you to give us a shout-out and let us know what's going to happen in the specific Super Bowl. We're going to be joined also with Dr. Dish, Neil Atkins. He's going to be joining me on the line here in just a bit. Also, we're going to be talking about college basketball. Obviously, it's definitely heating up in the Big East. A lot of big matchups this week in the Big East, as well as throughout college basketball. It's funny, we had a number, nobody wants to be number one in college basketball. Once they get rated number one, they tend to lose. But once that happens, it has to be a part of the Big East. So that's why this show will be called Bo and the Beast. So we're really looking forward to a lot of good things happening, a lot of good things already happening in the chat room. There's going to be plenty of things that we're going to continue to talk about regarding fantasy football. I'm hoping to get a hold of Alex a little bit later on as far as props. It's funny. I'm a Bruce Springsteen fan, and I was looking up props as to his first song that he would sing at halftime. And you know, there's so many props out there, and of course, Alex, he has been such a wonderful guest on our show throughout the year. And I'm hoping that we can get a hold of him for some props. If not, then maybe we can give you some props that you can kind of focus on as to the way the game may go. But Red versus Blue, it will continue to cater toward fantasy football, because we do have some dynasty leagues out there. I'm sure a lot of you are still focused on your dynasty leagues and looking forward to next year, because fantasy football, it's ongoing, whether it's late January, early February, middle of March, early May. Fantasy football continues with a lot of you, and we want to make that part of the show. But right now, we're really focusing on college basketball and, obviously, the Super Bowl. But I want to bring in real quick Dr. Dish, Neil. Neil, we've got a big week ahead as far as the Super Bowl, as far as college basketball. What's first and foremost on your list this week? What are you thinking about that's going to that's other than, obviously, a week from tomorrow, a couple things going on with University of Louisville this week?
Well, we got a big game coming up Sunday at noon. I hate those games that time of day, but we got a big game coming up with a rival. I don't think we managed to beat them. That's Syracuse, at Syracuse.
Yep.
And I think they're ranked eighth this week, and I think we're ranked number nine traveling to Syracuse to take them on, Jim Boeheim. And it's a team that's only lost a couple of games this year. They really look pretty pretty similar to us. You know, they've got big guys in the middle. They've got some depth, and look for that to be a really, really tough game for them. But,
yeah, it should be. It seems like there's more impactful games in college basketball on Sunday versus Saturday, which is kind of a little different. And it's one of those things. You know, you got number nine Louisville against number eight Syracuse, of course Florida and Vandy, number 12 Georgetown at Seton Hall, number seven Michigan State at Ohio State, number four Pittsburgh at West Virginia. Those are a bunch of huge games on Sunday, and then we got some big games on Saturday. I want to definitely get to the college hoops. But to get going as far as the Super Bowl, there's so many predictions. Everybody's going to make their, quote, perfect predictions on what's going to happen. Obviously, Pittsburgh is a 7-point favorite, last I saw. 46.5 is the over and under on this. It looks to me like, and I'm going to go ahead and, no, I'm going to hold off. I'm going to hold off. Neil, I'm going to ask you for your prediction, and I'm going to check out the chat room and see what they think. But, right now, a lot of the players, they're given that 2 weeks between the conference finals. They're given that 2 weeks to get healthy. Your Hines Ward, he's going to get healthy, well, as healthy as he can get with the knee, and that could be very big for Pittsburgh. Arizona, they have a few banged up players. Anquan Boldin, whether he's banged up or mad, who knows? But I think that situation's been put to rest. So there's a couple situations there with both teams, whether it be injury or whether it be in house. But I think both of them are going to come. They're going to come to the table in Tampa. They're going to be ready, and they're going to bring their best game. So basically, Neil, what I'm asking you is, give me a prediction. Right off the bat, we're 10 minutes into the show, but I'm looking for a prediction from you as far as who's going to win, what's the score, and give me your MVP.
Well, hadn't really thought all that through, Mike, but I tell you, I'm rooting for Arizona. Like I said, last week that this team reminds me, and I hope I got a healthy Anquan Boldin there. I think that team just reminds me so much of when Indiana 2006, when they won the whole thing. They had the receivers, the running game, kind of got good quarterback, and they got a good enough defense, And although, like I said, I brought it up last week when they played Philadelphia, that I thought, boy, I hope it ain't a replay of the last game they played, because I think they got burnt like 48. They just got demolished. But it was the end of the season game that didn't mean anything, and a lot of players weren't playing. But they did what they had to do last week and pulled it out. I guess, and I know a lot of the bookies and everybody's making Pittsburgh the favorite. Big Ben's been to the Super Bowl before. He didn't win it. So is Kurt Warner, though, you know. I think it might be Kurt's one of his last hurrahs, though, you know. But I can see why they got Pittsburgh favorite. But I'm gonna hope they got a healthy Anquan Boldin and a team isn't disoriented and comes out and plays their game and tries to get a little lead on Pittsburgh. They've been awful lucky to get there. Fitzgerald's been a monster these last few weeks.
I'll tell you what, he really has, setting that record for the most receiving yards in NFL playoff history. I mean, that's not fluke. It's one of them things, you know, him and Kurt Warner have been able to, they connect over and over again and make things happen with that team. It's a funny situation when I try to break down exactly what's going to happen with this game. It reminds me of last year when the Giants came in, underdog, wild card underdog, semifinals, underdog, conference finals, underdog, Super Bowl, underdog, and they won the Super Bowl. And this has kind of been the same trek that Arizona's taken, only except Arizona kind of faltered in their last couple of regular season games because they really didn't need them. They knew they didn't need them, and it takes a real credit goes to Ken Wisenhunt to be able to redirect their focus. They got blown out by New England and still redirect their focus as far as when they started the playoffs to say, hey, all right, it's playoff time, and we're going to start winning. And that's what they've done, and it's been amazing. You know, and Edgerrin James, for instance, he was kind of supposedly through the press crying the blues about, well, I'm not getting the carries. I'm not hired to be a blocking back. I'm not hired to be an offensive guard, this and that. Well, it pretty much shut up when they gave him the ball a couple times. He had a few carries, but Anquan Boldin kind of spouted off a little bit. But I think what they're all understanding and they're all trying to realize is this is a team game, and it's the ultimate team sport that I see versus even baseball, basketball. I mean, there's so many that fight so hard to work together, except for Jeff Garcia, and I'll touch on that later. But there's so many that fight so hard and for so long to reach the ultimate goal, and the ultimate goal is basically it's a week and a day away. And it's going to be amazing to see what happens when they hit the field because they're all together. And we'll just have to see, Neil. But I feel like they're all going to bring their best, but I have a gut feeling about this game, and sometimes my gut feeling is good, sometimes it's not. It's going to be an outstanding performance, and there's no doubt in my mind that they're all going to bring their best. And Boldin, but Steve Breaston, he's still out there too, and he could be very effective for Arizona as well. What about maybe Kenny Hightower for Arizona, or the unsung heroes, I guess, Neil. Those are some guys you might want to think about.
Yeah, I look forward to that game, Roy. I think it's really going to be an interesting game. I look for it to be a high scoring game.
That's funny you say that because
I'd say the over under is going to be about 55.
Well, I've got it right here. You know, Pittsburgh is -7, and over and under is 46.5.
46.5.
That's where you got to think about where do the points come from. I don't know if Pittsburgh can score more than 30.
I think they'll have to. I'm hoping Arizona gets out to the lead and makes them chase them. You know, that's kind of. kind of is their game, you know. I don't think you can hold that passing game down. That's what that's why I expect it to be a score. I mean, Pittsburgh's pretty good on defending the pass, you know.
Yeah,
it's
Pittsburgh,
pretty good,
they
team all the way around, you know.
Right, right. Pittsburgh, they're definitely, I mean, in every defensive category, they're definitely one of the best. And I don't know if Arizona can overcome that, but they always find a way to do that. I mean, I sat there and I was like, well, Arizona can't score on Philly.
I really think that what it's going to come down to, just like these other games, it's going to come down to the turnovers. You know, if you make the turnovers, you're going to lose. You know, if you turn the ball over, you're going to lose. And
yep.
It seems like, you know, a lot of times the teams try to tend to average that out, you know, or, you know, get a couple on each side. But I think if it goes like that, you got to give the edge to Pittsburgh. I know, you know, they're a team that likes to come at you and smash you in the mouth, you know, and just run on over top of you. And I look for them to have that kind of game against Arizona. Whereas Arizona, they're going to have to get out there with their passing game and mix it up, you know, and I think they can. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it should be. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, people being healthy. And, for instance, like you talked about Hines Ward. Hines Ward, he'll be there.
Yeah.
He'll be there. He's always he's a big game maker, and he makes
him,
things happen.
Know, and Willie Parker, you know, I think they've been playing. I know Big Ben will bring his game.
Yeah, Big Ben is still upset about his first Super Bowl, which was
a
disaster.
Yeah, that's what I think. Now he's getting back to this one. It kind of makes you feel like that's to me anyhow. It kind of looks to me that he's ready to win one now. You know.
Yeah, he won that one, but he performed pretty miserably, to be honest with you. I mean, it was an awful performance. 9 for 21 in his first Super Bowl, threw a pick. But things worked out well because of defense. And that just goes back to what we've talked about is defense wins championships.
You know, the edge out in him, though, you know, as a quarterback, you don't want to see your quarterback run. But in a one-game scenario, you know, and you got to have the yardage, I'd rather have Warner Big Ben doing that for me than Warner, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
When
yeah,
you get down to third and 10, you know, and he's got to take off with the ball. Yeah, I don't think Warner is capable of doing it. Well, I do think Big Ben is.
Well, and, you know, that's a point that, you know, you made a subliminal point right there, Neil, that a lot of us probably hadn't thought about. Chances are Kurt Warner, Big Ben, Roethlisberger, they're going to be fine, you know, as far as getting through this game without injury, but knock on wood, if one of them gets hurt, who steps in? You know, you've got Byron Leftwich, who can, I mean, he stepped in before for Pittsburgh, but when you're talking Arizona, Kurt Warner, he better stay within that area. And if he gets out of that area, definitely Pittsburgh.
You know, he's been there enough times.
He's
uncanny at getting rid of the ball, and he'll throw the ball away in a heartbeat, you know.
That's a way to do it, doesn't
it? Getting sacked, you know. But, I mean, these guys tend to hit you after you get rid of the ball anyhow. They want to get to him. They want to make it. You can't give Warner time to throw that ball back in the pocket. And that's what he tends to do, just get back in his pocket. And that line, offensive line's really been protecting him. But if you put enough guys going after the quarterback, well, I'm sure Pittsburgh will do that. They're not going to give him time to do much of that ball. So he's going to have to get off. That's why I hope Anquan Boldin's playing because he's really good at getting them real quick dump off pass, you know.
Yep. Well, there's no doubt about it. There's a lot of things happening with this game. Still looking for your Super Bowl predictions. We want to hear the winner, the score of the game, and the MVP. And you know, we've got a couple in here. I've seen a it's pretty much Pittsburgh laden, but that's all right. You know, I personally I'm a Cowboy fan, so I really don't want them to get their six pack. but it's a great organization. And when I look back and see the coaches that's come through Pittsburgh, from Chuck Knoll to Bill Cowher and now Mike Tomlin, it's so hard to follow the man, and Bill Cowher was able to do that with Chuck Knoll, and then Mike Tomlin has been able to do that with Bill Cowher, and I think a lot of respect goes to that organization and what they've been able to do and continue to do. And albeit still be
Pittsburgh plays the game the way the game was originally intended to be played. You know, they get up there and they've got your big lineman. Your, I mean, they've got your Palomalu, what's his name? Troy Palomalu or whatever his name is.
Palomalu.
Yeah, he's just a beast in that backfield, you know, for compared to most defensive, you know, backs or something like that. He looks like a fullback back there, you know.
Yeah, it's funny, Neil. I was talking to a friend of mine earlier today, and of course I'm a big Bruce Springsteen fan, which he's going to be doing that Super Bowl halftime show, and you know, I was like, well, Bruce, I mean, Bruce loves to play long, and he, you know, but one thing about it, at that halftime show, if he goes one or two songs too long, I could just see Palomalu right now just going through that stage and going, wait a second, and just giving Bruce the what for and saying it's time to play football.
You're just feeling in here, you know. Okay.
But it's going to be it's definitely going to be fun, and we're obviously looking forward to it.
Wonder how many people picked them two teams for the first of the year, you know, to meet in the Super Bowl.
Well, you know, that's a good question. A friend of mine at work, he asked what was Arizona's odds at the beginning of the year, and I believe it was 120-1 was the last that I saw for Arizona to
yeah,
win
I
the Super Bowl.
I could see you picking Pittsburgh. You could have possibly picked Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I can't see how you'd come up with Arizona on that. But
you know, that's just you know, that's kind of the way things happen in the NFL. It's the unknown factor. It just continues to happen year after year after year. Who would have predicted New England goes undefeated last year until the Super Bowl?
Yeah, and the last game. I've heard the early reports for next year already. They've already predicting that New England is going to be the favorite again next year to win the Super Bowl.
Well,
that
wouldn't surprise me. I mean, are they going to put the franchise tag on Matt Castle?
I don't know.
New England's got some things to they got some things to figure out, because obviously Tom Brady's ready to come back. And it goes back to in one of our earlier shows, I made a comment, and I kind of got laughed at a little bit, but I firmly believe Tom Brady is a very, very good quarterback, but there's a thing called a system, and systems work. And Matt Castle, I believe he's a very good quarterback, but he's been very good in that system, and I don't know if he would be very good anywhere else, like a lot of running backs for Denver. They've been wonderful at Denver, but would they be good anywhere else? And it's funny, because New England, in my opinion, was one of the hottest teams toward the end of the year, but because of their early season failures.
I don't think I've ever seen a team 11-5 get left out. I don't think it's ever
exactly.
Happened.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they were one of the hottest coming into, you know, December. The month of December, this team was hot. They were on fire. But didn't make the playoffs because of early season failures, and those are the things that happen.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go ahead and give a prediction. We're about 11:23, so we're about halfway through, and I'd really love to delve into some college hoops, and then we'll maybe go back to NFL, because
okay.
We've got some stuff to talk about toward the end of the show about Herm Edwards getting fired, Dan Reeves, offensive coordinator for the 49ers. Wow. Where'd that come from? But I'm going to go ahead and give you my Super Bowl prediction. I really see it being a very tight game, like we talked about. I see Pittsburgh and Arizona, both defenses being very tough. I think this game is going to go under the 46.5, but barely. I've got Arizona winning the game outright, 24-21, and my MVP is going to be Kurt Warner. I really think this will be a 21-17 type of game going into the fourth quarter.
Interesting.
We'll be able to keep Hines Ward, Santonio Holmes, Nate Washington, all of them guys at bay. Their linebackers are always good at keeping a guy like Heath Miller at bay, and their line will keep Parker to 3-4 yards a carry. And while Pittsburgh's trying to integrate the pass along with the run, I think they're going to have a hard time doing everything together. So that's what I've got. I've got Arizona 24, Pittsburgh 21, with the MVP being Kurt Warner. And I just see it being like the Giants of last year, where they just are underdogs.
All the way
through. And furthermore, the game's in Tampa. And Pittsburgh, I guarantee you, they wish that game was in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they want that.
Not even Pittsburgh. It could be in Bismarck, South Dakota.
Yeah, they want that field frozen. I'm going to go a little higher than that. I'm going to say like 35-28.
All right.
In favor of
who's your MVP again, Neil?
Pardon me?
Who's your MVP? Willie Parker?
I'm going to say it's going to be co-MVPs, Kurt Warner and Larry Fitzgerald.
All right.
Did you happen to read the article in today's Courier Journal from one of our first winners of the Heisman Trophy, Paul Hornung? They had an interview with
Paul. What Paul Hornung had to say?
Oh, he likes Pittsburgh, but he was talking about the pay that he got coming out of college as a number one pick and the Heisman winner.
Uh-huh.
And he signed, I think it was $15,000 what he got, where the number one player this year, he was saying, got $70 million. $70 million compared where he signed, he got $15,000 a year and
wow.
$3,500 signing bonus. And it was big money back then. And what was that back in the 50s?
Sure.
But I thought that was one interesting.
That is. That's pretty staggering. And pro sports in general they've spent the money, and I get into a debate all the time with people. People are saying, well, these athletes don't deserve it, this and that. And the bottom line, a lot of it started back in 1971, 72. Baseball started this crap with free agency. And now the owners are paying them. I mean, they're paying them the money. And this could be a debate that could go over and over and over again. But the owners pay them, and the people keep coming to the games, and the sponsors keep sponsoring them. I just hope that it levels off. I think the NFL has done a really good job of, deflating the money aspect of it when it comes to salary cap versus
yeah.
baseball. Whereas in baseball, you've got three guys from the Yankees making more than 15 teams make period
yeah.
for their entire payroll, which is sick.
I was just looking up here on him. He was the number one pick in 1957, and he played for who was it? Vince Lombardi, and was Green Bay's number one pick, and with
Paul Hornung, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was saying, that's why he got in trouble for gambling and things like that back then. He made $15,000. He got $15,000 to be the number one or the first pick in the NFL draft, and $3,500 signing bonus made $18,500. And he was just, he said that back then, he said Jim Brown probably made $125,000 a year, Gale Sayre $75,000. He said he made $70,000 when it was in his heyday. But he said Bart Starr made about $100,000 a year, and to see where it's went to now, where you get the number one pick, get a $70 million contract, But it's interesting just how, for 40 years, how far they've,
I didn't touch that.
You gotta love it, baby.
Hey, he's back.
Oh, Lordy.
You gotta love it.
Oh, Lordy.
How was your trip?
It was the week of the Cardinal, Mike. The week
yeah.
of the Cardinal.
Oh, my gosh. we were just getting ready to touch on that in this last half hour. We were touching on the NFL and the Super Bowl first off, and I wanted to stay as far away as I could from T-Will and that freaking highlight film that we saw the other night.
He done it, didn't he?
Hey, how's everybody doing tonight? It's Scott Adkins, Team Legacy of Fantasy Football. Just got in from Tampa where the Super Bowl is rounding in the form down there. Man, the place is really jacked up and they're ready to go. Just, I can't believe they fired Dungy while I was down there, man. Wow.
Gruden?
I mean, not Dungy, but Gruden. Yeah, that was just unbelievable.
Oh, well, you didn't hear the latest then?
No,
players put him under the bus.
Kansas City's coach.
Herm Edwards is gone. Man.
It's kind of been a major turnover in the NFL this year in coaching.
Dan Reeves, offensive coordinator at the San Francisco 49ers.
I thought some of these teams would be picking up some of these guys, but they're not, you know.
So what, that signals Shanahan to go to in-division rival, huh?
Well, you know what, I've been looking at it, and a report says Shanahan has said no.
Huh. Well, maybe he takes a year off. I don't know. But, no, Mike, when I say week of the Cardinal, man, I guess that can apply to NFL too, man. The Arizona Cardinals did what I thought they were going to do, and they just took care of business.
I'll tell you what, Scott, you've nailed it. You've nailed it this whole way, and I don't know if you caught it or not, but I've released my Super Bowl pick, and I like Arizona 24-21. I relate it a lot to last year as far as the Giants being underdog in every game, and winning it. And
yeah.
I'm going with that same plan this year, Arizona. Well, I didn't go with the same plan, but I am now. Arizona, I think it'll be a tight game. They'll keep it tight enough, and MVP will be Kurt Warner. Last 2-minute drive to Larry Fitzgerald and 24-21 Arizona.
Well, I don't know if I'm ready to give out the prediction yet because we can do that Friday night, next Friday. We still got a couple days to go after that, but. Man, what is up with Anquan Boldin? That brought up a lot of discussion in on our message board this week at the FFPC.com. And
it was a sideline little antics went on last year and last week in that game where they was behind, trying to come from behind. The coach didn't want to put him in there.
Well, you're right, Dr. Dish, and it wasn't just sideline antics. From what all the reports are, is he's in the locker room. He didn't stick around for the celebration. He was there for 10 minutes and he left. And let me tell you guys, I had Anquan Boldin up on a pedestal as far as an NFL player. He always did he came out of his rookie season and just had a phenomenal year. He was underpaid. He got a contract, but it wasn't anything like what he played up to. And
in his defense, I'll say this for him. You know, he's been downplaying it all. He said he didn't mean doing anything against the unity of the team or anything like that. He just felt like, you know, he needed to be in there. And I know it was his feeling, because I guess that any good player wants to be in there when they need the points. You know, they was down and trying to come back in that game. They had to get that touchdown, or had to get that touchdown to take the lead.
That's what he was looking at, Neil.
Yeah,
I mean,
he felt he was pretty much saying,
"Look, man, why am I not in?"
Yeah,
and that offensive coordinator, he's pretty brash, and he's like, "Look, we have a play right now, so just." Cool your jets.
I think he didn't feel like he was going to help him being in there. Like, you know, he had to, what they wanted to do, they was doing.
Well, he may not have been for that particular play.
And it is
so,
that offensive coordinator's.
I think more has been made out of it than should be, in my opinion. Because it's just, they butted heads two or three times this year.
Sure,
and Wisenhunt's like, no big deal.
They've said since then, oh, that happens every game. He said, that happens every game they're in. He said, there's nothing more to it than that. You know, they just, they were just, both of them were pumped up, and they really wanted to.
Sure.
But, you know, when it's
Well, if you're a really good player, and you know you're a really good player,
you want to be in there. Yeah.
It's just like a funny thing. I was listening. I'm going to switch gears just for about a minute and a half, guys.
Okay.
I was listening on the way home from Louisville. I went up and visited some relatives today, and on the way home today, they were interviewing Terrence Williams, and it was so funny. He got two fouls. This was a couple of games ago, and he looked at the bench, and he told the assistant coaches, he said, don't tell coach I got two fouls. Shh. Don't tell him. Don't tell him. They go, we've got to tell him. They're going to. He's going to yell at us if we don't. And he goes, well, he yells at me every day. Just don't tell him, you know. But it's the same type. When you're in that fire, when you're a very good player, you want to be part of a big play. But sometimes the play doesn't ask for your attention at that particular point. Now, come a week from Sunday, I mean, you know, whatever Pittsburgh scheme may give Arizona, it could prove to be Anquan Boldin 9 for 150, two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I think they need him. I think they need him in the Super Bowl.
If he's healthy. Mm-hmm. If he's healthy. Wasn't it a hammy he tweaked? I mean, those things are very unpredictable.
Yeah.
You can go out there and play. But I don't know. Hey, Mike, just a side note before I get into this. Your phone is kind of breaking up there. It's kind of hard to make up what you were saying, and you had some good points. I wanted to make sure everybody got them. Man, back to Boldin. I mean, you know, it's a team sport, guys. You've got 53 guys on the roster or 52, 53 guys, and no matter what's going on with your contract, you signed a contract and you made an agreement to the team. And yeah, you know what? I agree with you. I think you're underpaid. You're definitely one of the top five receivers in the NFL in my book. But it's a team sport. And, you know, you gotta celebrate with the guys, and they're the ones that got you here. The defense, the offense, the special teams, the coaching staff, the subs, the water boy, I mean, everybody helped out and made this. It wasn't just about you. And, you know, it seems like a Plaxico Burress move to me, out of the blue, you know. I mean,
yeah,
I guess I can give him the benefit of the doubt, but, you know, that's the biggest game in your franchise history, and you're pulling that kind of crap? Come on.
Well, perfect examples, and I hope you're catching me loud and clear right now, but perfect examples – go throughout the course of the year when you're a fantasy football owner and you've got a stud and he lays an egg on you for one particular week. Now, why did he lay that egg on you? Well, it wasn't because of him. It may be because of the matchups that the other team had. And, so the matchups, obviously, everybody should be focusing on Larry Fitzgerald.
But I think Anquan thought that if he thought he was in there, at least he'd take some of the pressure off of Larry Fitzgerald, you know, and he possibly could have, you know,
But that's why he's a player and he has coaches, and the coaches, they know the schemes, and they've studied that film a heck of a lot more than them players have.
A healthy Anquan Boldin in there isn't going to hurt him. It should have helped him, you know, but I got my doubts as to whether the offensive coordinator there thought, I can't think of his name offhand, but if he actually thought Anquan was going to be that big of a help to him in there in the condition he was in, you know, because I know he's playing
hurt. It could have been a simple blocking situation. It could have been a second tight end in for Boldin.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been Breston, who's a better blocker than Boldin. It could have been, just one of those simple things that makes teams better in the different scenarios that you go through throughout the course of the game. And that one particular play they had called at that particular time did not include Boldin, and Boldin got upset.
Yeah, and to Scott's point, I think that's a good point, too, though. You know, that offensive coordinator, that's his job, too, and he's trying to do it to the best of his ability. He knew Anquan.
He's trying to win the game.
You know, you're right. And he's
trying to win the game.
What he had available to him, you know. And I know that is his call, and he's consequently the one, regardless whether he chose to leave him out of the game, and if he did, that was his call. You know, if he lost it, he'd take care of that, so. I think
I'm glad I could make a little bit of this discussion tonight, gang. It's just what a big week for the Cardinals, and let's not overlook the Steelers. I don't know if you guys talked about the Steelers, but I mean they played a tough, hard-nosed game against the Ravens, and they got the job done. And it's kind of hard to figure out how these two teams are going to match up. I know we got a whole week to think about it and talk about it, but I'm really looking forward to that game. It's going to be a hard-nosed defense against a top-notch offense, and Mike, I mean, you know, they say defense wins championships, but I'm not so sure this year, man.
Well, yeah, I still believe defense wins championships, but one of the hottest defenses right now is Arizona's.
You know, here's the thing, too, about that.
They're making a lot of plays.
Arizona tends to keep the defense, the opposing team's defense on the field the whole game, you know, and more so than their offense. or that's the way it's worked out so far for them. So as long as they keep a defense on, I mean, Pittsburgh, there is no better team. I mean, Baltimore and Pittsburgh both are really good at this, but they playing smash-mouth football, there isn't anybody any better than that. The Giants were really good at it, too, but the cream come to the top, I think, you know. So if they
the one thing that we talked about a little bit earlier, Scott, that I think is going to be a lot of fun is watching Ben drop back and see what he has as far as Hines Ward, Santonio Holmes. Arizona's always been very good about covering the tight end. So Heath Miller, I don't know what he's going to get. And then if Arizona's able to put eight in the box,
this game
could get very, very interesting when Ben's back there trying to throw to Holmes or Ward.
Well, Pittsburgh definitely going to air it out. I mean, every team in the league airs it out against the Cardinals, and Philadelphia was no exception. I mean, McNabb didn't have a problem. You have Brent Celek having a career day, and you have DeSean Jackson playing well. They're going to throw the ball to Holmes. If Ward is healthy, which I think he should be, they're going to throw it to Ward. He's the playmaker. But I like Holmes this year in that game. You know, he's going to have a big day, and Roth is going to have a big day. The question is Willie Parker going to put up a performance because the edge has been moving the ball for the Cardinals, and it's nice to see. Now, I don't think he'll do much against Pittsburgh. It's going to have to be Warner.
I think the question is whether how much pressure that Pittsburgh defense can put on Warner. You know, they're not going to leave him all day to throw the ball like he's been getting. They know that. That's what'll beat him, you know.
Mike, it was kind of like a tale of two halves, too, though. I mean, Warner, look, he ripped apart that blitz in the first half, and everything McNabb threw it, everything that defense threw at him, he picked it apart. It was a quick pass. He didn't even have to think. He had a wide-open man in Breston, a wide-open man in Fitz. He just did the right things with the ball, made the right decisions. In the second half, it's like, okay, none of that's working right now.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. It looked like their the whole first half plays were predicated already. They've been pre-planned and just like the old Bill Walsh used to do. Here's our first 25 plays. This is what we're going to do. And that's what Arizona looked like against Philly. I said, this is the way it's going to be, and this is the way we're going to do it.
I don't think anybody's going to change anything. I think they got their game plans pretty much the way they both play. Arizona's going to come out throwing the ball and mixing the run up with Edgren and Hightower. And I think they're going to
outside a little bit more. I really don't see Arizona going up the gut much.
Oh, I think they really need Anquan Boldin this week if they ever going to need him. I think they're going to put so much pressure on Kurt Warner, he's going to have him for a release. Him and Edgren James both, I think they're going to have him for release, or quick release. Just over to the
All right, well, Doc, I'll tell you what, we've got about 15 minutes to go, and, you know, kind of like a little bit of what Scott said, next Friday we're really going to hit this hard. I want to talk Big East.
Okay.
I want to talk Big East basketball because I am very intrigued with this conference. I've been watching a little bit of basketball this year, not as much as I want to, but I'm having a ton of fun with it. The Big East, I cannot remember how many teams are this good. What do you think's going to happen, Dr. Bish, as the year goes along? These teams are playing each other. We've got Georgetown at Seton Hall.
I think all these teams have to win at home. You've got to win your home games. I mean, these teams are just like the other night. I don't know if you all watched it, but the Georgetown, you know, Georgetown, Duke beat them at Duke by about 12 points, I think. You know, it wasn't really a beatdown, but they handled them. But that was Duke at Duke, you know. And then here come who was it the other night? Oh, West Virginia, and they're down there about the middle of the pack. And
they
put a whooping on Georgetown, boy, at Georgetown. That was more impressive to me, and I thought, oh, my gosh, what we got in this? I watched Seton Hall play these. Seton Hall and Providence and those teams like that, they are really good.
Hey,
what about
I put a couple bucks on that Wake Forest team, too. You can get them at 50-1. I know you could earlier in the week. Yeah, I got a 50-1 to win the title. So, I mean, 50-1, you can't turn that down.
Oh, that was great.
And I just heard the Wake Forest coach was interviewed yesterday and heard him talking that they just laid down on Wednesday when they lost to Virginia Tech. Just, you know, it's just one of them games.
Game,
when you're number
–
it's hard to be number one right now, but it's not important to be number one.
Old Duke's probably going to move to number one. They're going to have to play at Wake Forest right back to back, I think, here.
Yeah.
And North Carolina, too, coming up. So they got some really good matchups coming up. No, the Big East, though, I mean, you've got Connecticut, you've got Pittsburgh and Villanova and Louisville.
You could fill three shows with
Notre
the Big
Dame,
East.
Syracuse, they're just, it just goes
the
on
big
and on.
Game, the big game I'm looking forward out of the Big East this week is definitely Louisville at Syracuse. I mean, number nine against number eight, Louisville is playing very good ball. They're rocking on all cylinders.
Like us. They're a whole lot like us. And I mean, I went back and checked. I think we're 0-3 up there playing at Syracuse. I hope we can turn that around this week.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a game of matchups. And talking about that Pittsburgh game, it's a game I've watched a couple times now. I DVR'd that thing, and Louisville just kept the full court pressure on the whole game and gave Pittsburgh fits, a season high 20 turnovers. For Pitt, and they just couldn't contain the big playmakers are Clark and T-Will.
Have you noticed that's what's been going on now? Them's the two guys that are taking the shots now, and they're taking the ball to the hole, you know, and that's making a big difference. And Myrtle's filling in there in the middle, great. You know, he's a big body inside there, and he's usually blocking out the somebody, and T-Will's been getting to the basket at will here. But, you know, you make a lot better percentage of your shots going to the basket like that rather than taking them outside shots if you're not hitting, you know. And our guards, we've got four or five guards. They can just pretty much got a round robin. They can keep switching in there and keeping them fresh. And they're not doing much shooting right now, but they are getting the ball to the right people.
Well, a key to Pittsburgh winning, obviously, is DeJuan Blair in the middle. And he was held to just 9 points and 10 rebounds. Got into foul trouble and he only played for 20 minutes, and, you know, they talked about that a lot as saying, hey, that's the reason. But, you know, you turn the ball over 20 times. You know, you can't win in the Big East on the road when you turn the ball over 20 times. So Louisville's won 9 out of the last 10 games they've played against ranked Big East opponents. And that's just saying something. They're 5-0 right now. You've got a tough battle every night. The Rutgers game was a real trap game for me. I mean, that was a game that I was afraid of. Rutgers was up on Pittsburgh by 5. With just a couple of minutes to go in that game against Pittsburgh, they let that game go. But you know, Rutgers was a team that can play you tough too. So there's no easy game here.
Seton Hall team's like that. That Providence team's like that too.
You go on down the line with the Big East, and you're going to get that.
And
you know,
Cincinnati
most people
will give
can,
us a good game. You know,
you know, I was listening to Oregon State's head coach being interviewed, and he's like, well, the Pac-10's tough, and I keep thinking, well, no, it's not. You know, there's no conference right now like the Big East. And I try to give Kentucky props about being in a good conference in the SEC. Well, no. I mean, if there's ever an opportunity, and if the NCAA selection
championship,
we're talking too much. Oh, shut up. Too much down the road. If they ever have the opportunity to select the way they select, I can see four Big East teams being in the Final Four. I really can.
That would be something, wouldn't it? I've never seen that happen. I mean, not the Big East. I've seen three Big Ten teams in the Final Four before.
Well, three SEC teams.
When you go down the list, though, I mean, can you make a case for Louisville being in the Final Four?
A lot has to happen. You know, you've got a lot of teams there, and yeah, you know, it's something that, you know, obviously could happen. But with that competition, you're going to have them.
I can see them in the Final 16 anyway. Four in the Final 16.
Yeah, you're going to have them beating each other up all year, and you know, you really can't compare this ACC Big East comparison here. You know, I just think that's silly. Both conferences are good. You've got a lot of top teams there at the top on both.
When you've got teams like Memphis and your
for sure.
Memphis, speaking of Memphis and Tennessee Saturday, that's one of the games I'm looking at. Kentucky, Alabama, that's one of the games I'm looking at. I see Alabama possibly beating Kentucky. I see Tennessee beating Memphis. UConn at Notre Dame. It's when you go on the road. You know, are they road tested? And Notre Dame beats UConn.
Hey, Scott, did you see that? U of L is, that's one of the things they brought up, too, on SportsCenter. They got the best road record in the Big East for the past 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Patino has them ready to play, and it's not a team that you want to see right now. Louisville is playing on all cylinders, and Syracuse is going to cause matchup problems for us, I think. That Devendorf, he can run the court and keep possession in their favor, and they like to run the ball too. It's going to cause matchup problems for us and them. I think it's going to be a good matchup. I don't know what happened in that Pittsburgh game. Syracuse just looked a little off to me. I expected a better, closer matchup than that.
Well, Pittsburgh came off loss. They was and they
that
did better play that whole game
to
too.
Yeah.
Did you get
that
a chance to see this Jeremy Tyler, the one of the latest one that verbally committed to Louisville? At 6'11", junior. And he plays for San Diego out there. He's playing at that Old Spice High School showcase tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited about this kid.
Yeah, he looked like, unfortunately for them, he looked like the only player on the team. What I heard the coach, and they had three players, two of the top 100, two of the top 50 players in the country transferred from Oklahoma. And right before this game come on tonight, they had suspended three of the starters off of the team he was on and the coach. because they said two of them come from Oklahoma to come out there to switch to San Diego this year.
Yeah.
And they ruled them all ineligible now. So
Recruit starts early. They
got it handed to them tonight by that Fairfax. They had that Renaro Sidney on that team. They had a kind of a grudge war playing out there, 2 7-footers going at each other.
Yeah. Recruiting definitely starts early.
Louisville had a big week and had the big win against Pittsburgh, but what's going on with the Wildcats, man?
Well, I'll tell you what, I really feel good about the direction they're going. Obviously, the SEC is definitely down this year, but it's something that it's a chance for Kentucky to take advantage of. Jody Meeks is continuing to just fill it up left and right. Why people won't guard this guy, I do not know.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. He looks like the only guy you have to guard on that team.
He just keeps going. Patrick Patterson is just getting it done inside. They're starting to call him the Beast. And now they're starting to deal it off to Perry Stevenson. Perry Stevenson is filling in as well. The one thing that I really love about Kentucky is they hit free throws left and right. They shot 88% from the line the night before last. Last weekend, last Saturday, it was like 80%. These guys do not miss free throws. And I know that sounds so lame, but in big games, that can become a big difference. Because when you lose by 2 or 3 points, people always want to tend to look back at who missed that last shot or who made that last shot versus, well, with 15 minutes to go, you missed 2 free throws. So if you make them free throws.
Kind of turnovers, you know.
That is the Achilles heel for Kentucky right now is the turnovers. They just cannot. I mean, Jody Meeks he's a much problem as the rest of them. He makes a lot of turnovers, but when you handle the ball that much, you're gonna make those turnovers. I really see Kentucky continuing on.
I think he had like 16 turnovers to 1 assist. You know, that's
right. Well, he's gonna make them turnovers. He's not an assist man. Jody Meeks is not an assist man. He comes off of screens, and that's what he does. He catches and shoots, and he's been pretty good at that. The one thing that they need to eliminate, obviously, is the turnovers, and they have to find that third person that's going to step up as far as scoring. Would it be DeAndre Liggins, Ramon Harris? I look to see Ramon Harris just step up. But they've got the 1-2 punch, but they need somebody else.
I think they think they're going to get pulled out of the game. They act like they're scared to shoot. They always look up and pass the ball. These Liggins and who's the other little guard? I think he's probably the starting guard for them now. What's his name?
Porter? Yeah, well,
Porter,
he should be scared.
But they all act like they're scared to shoot. They can be right open and they'll pass that ball. You know, they won't take that shot. You've got to take that shot if you're open out there. You know?
Porter's not a shooter. I mean, but DeAndre Liggins
is you like that, you're not going to beat him, you know.
DeAndre Liggins is a freshman that's learning the system. He's already been benched once this year, and he's learning things. And this is the greatest year for the young kids to learn because it's such a soft SEC, and this is going to make them so much better. And I expect a lot of big things. I definitely expect by the time late February, March comes around, when Liggins, for instance, I mean, he'll be a sophomore, because that's the way I look at these kids. When they're a freshman in November, they're a sophomore come March. And I really expect big things in March. I'm not saying Final Four. I'm just saying that this team has all the capabilities. When you got two profile players like Meeks and Patterson and a couple others to step in there, by the time that March rolls around, I definitely see them being a Sweet 16 team with no problem.
Well, this is Red versus Blue Radio. We like to talk Louisville and Kentucky basketball in the off season of the NFL. And we're really enjoying the ranked Cardinals. They've been able to do. This is a Louisville team that couldn't beat Western Kentucky, Minnesota, or UNLV. But what they could do, because they've done it, is start 5-0 in the Big East while notching victories over Pittsburgh, Notre Dame, and Villanova. Does that make sense? Of course not.
That's a sweet start.
But it sets things up.
No, Scott. It makes no sense at all. But that's kind of Rick Pitino's game plan. And, you got to make it happen, because I really believe this is the preseason. You know you're there. Let's refine some things. Let's make
a long way to go,
things happen. And then come March 1st, let's hammer down this Big East tournament. But in the middle of March, now it's time.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see a team, any of these good teams in the Big East, lose 2, 3, 4 games in a row.
Yeah.
If you do that, you're probably going to be out of it.
It could happen. But you know what? Hey, you guys like Dickie V, right? I mean,
love him.
He's awesome, baby. I got in my hands here his prediction for the Final Four. His Final Four teams right now as they stand. Obviously, you got North Carolina. you're going to have North Carolina in there with Dickie V. You're also going to have
Duke
in there with Dickie V. His third team is UConn.
U of L, maybe.
UConn. And number four on his Final Four teams is Pittsburgh. But he goes on to say, after he reads off those four, he says, but Louisville is a dangerous team because of Coach Rick Pitino. In a one-game scenario, he's a guy you do not want to face, and that team is getting better and better as the season goes on. And it's interesting that he talks about his Final Four and he gives you five. But
well,
he has to throw him in there.
Well, Dickie B, I mean, you just come back from Tampa.
They're in the discussion.
You just come back from Tampa. I mean, that's his stomping grounds. And it's funny, Scott, because he's so passionate, and every time I listen to him now, I just appreciate him more and more and more. This guy's
like a walking encyclopedia on basketball.
He is, and if you guys remember, a year ago he couldn't talk, didn't know if he was going to be able to do another game again, and he's back into it, and he absolutely loves it, and the passion that he brings, it's hard to relate. I mean, just if I only had a fourth of his passion, and I need
to get kind of
another
term
fourth.
That I kind of apply to the Cardinals this year. They played to me, and I've watched U of L and been a fan of U of L for all my life. I mean, close to 40-some years, and since before Denny Crum was at Louisville. But this team plays with some passion, boy. They really get out there, and when it comes to crunch time, it seems like there's five playing as one, you know. And it's really what you want to see in a team sport, you know.
Well, we've got big games coming up. The Cardinals, it's nice to have them in discussion. What you want as a college fan is just to have your team in a discussion, you know, and have a chance at March. And,
that's right.
You know, you've got to – they're doing the right things. And Kentucky's looking good, too. You know, you got to keep playing one game at a time, and that's the cliche.
It is the middle of the season. They've got it to develop. Every team here, they've got to get better, every one of them we've talked about. And I think most of them will, too, you know. But they're going to develop that team chemistry as this year goes on, and the better whoever really masters it is the one who's going to step to the front and when it gets down to the playoffs.
Absolutely. It's so much fun. We got about 40 seconds to go. I'm going to kind of wrap it up. Basically, it's a lot of fun watching the college basketball hoops. just getting to full force, the NFL, the Super Bowl. It's a great time of year. It's a great time of year to be a sports fan and just to love it all. And, Scott, we got about 30 seconds. I'm going to let you wrap it up. How's that sound? I'm glad you're back home and safe, and I'll let you wrap it up. How's that sound, bro?
Well, thanks, guys. And Dr. Dish, I appreciate you always being the voice of the Cardinals here. And Mike, appreciate the show. And we'll see you guys next week. Make sure you join us next Friday night. It's Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio. We'll talk Louisville, Kentucky, and the Super Bowl. We'll see you next week.
More live fantasy sports radio than anyone else.